Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
Now, a cyber attack that destroyed, not stole, millions in Bitcoin has sent shockwaves through the crypto and cybersecurity worlds. And I want to explore this in a little more detail. I'm in conversation now with Vihan Ulufia, FinTech and Digital Assets Lead at Forvis Mazars, to explain how hackers use blockchain to make itself, or to make a chilling and, I think, irreversible statement. And perhaps more importantly, let's talk a little bit about the risk and what this means for South African businesses. So, Vihan, a very warm welcome. Nice to have you on the show again. Let's start with that headline. Why would hackers destroy millions in Bitcoin instead of either spending it or even laundering it?
Yeah, Jeremy, thanks so much for having me on today again. So what we could see in terms of how this was approached and effectively what happened at the end of the day, it's the first time in history that we see this type of approach with a cyber attack as well. And you can see, based on the fact that the funds are not being laundered or taken through mixers or whatever the case may be, it's not being utilized for anything. It is there to make a statement. And I believe it would be in relation to making a political statement in terms of the friction between Iran and Israel. And I mean, it's almost like we see a new chapter in cyber warfare. The cryptocurrency has been moved into a blockchain address. It's there for the whole world to see. And they left a quite prominent message in the address as well, where they stored all the funds, or they exiled the funds rather, on the blockchain.
Do we know technically how this was pulled off? How does one actually burn crypto and make it unrecoverable?
Yeah, so I think first of all, foremost, it was important just to know that the exchange itself that was hacked, that NoBitex that was hacked from a Iran perspective, also being the largest cryptocurrency exchange in Iran. So effectively what they did is they target the hot wallets of that specific cryptocurrency exchange. That means the wallets that are linked to the internet and not cold wallets that's disconnected from the internet. But effectively what the malicious actor effectively did is they created a on-chain address. And what was interesting enough is from a technical perspective, usually when you create an address, or also referred to as a wallet, that address or wallet is created from the private key that's hashed using a SHA-256 algorithm. It's hashed then to form the public key and then hashed again, of course, to form the wallet at the end of the day. But the makeup of the wallet where the funds were deposited in was so unique that it is impossible that, based on today's computing power, that address was actually created from a private key. So effectively saying that most probably there isn't even a private key. A private key doesn't exist. So if a private key doesn't exist, then effectively no one can gain access to that wallet or the funds situated in that wallet. And that's effectively how that malicious actor utilized blockchain technology to dump those cryptocurrency into that address to basically exile it on the blockchain.
So just help me understand this. Is the vulnerability then the blockchain itself or the exchange?
So the vulnerability itself, in terms of where the funds were compromised, was on the cryptocurrency exchange itself. The blockchain, the Bitcoin blockchain, the Ethereum blockchain, Ether, Ripple, Solana, the likes that have been used, worked exactly as intended. Meaning, if there's not a private key associated with the public key, associated with the address, then those funds won't be accessed at all. So the blockchain itself worked exactly as how they were designed to work.
Which, of course, raises the question then, how worried should South African exchanges and fintech firms be about a copycat?
Yeah, look, I think from that perspective, I've always thought about it, even with the Bybit hack that happened a couple of months ago as well. I think any type of cryptocurrency exchange or virtual asset service provider in South Africa, or any type of business that applies self-custody, needs to be wary of the associated risk that this could possibly happen to them as well. Not necessarily from a political standpoint, but from malicious actors in general. So, I mean, they need to apply certain, if I can call it, processes and protocols in place to make sure that as little as possible of the cryptocurrency is exposed to hot wallets that effectively malicious actors can hack. But I mean, it's also interesting from a South African point of view. If you think about with what happened with NoBitex, they were actually insured, so there was assurance payout of a portion of the funds, and then of course they refunded the customers in relation to internal funds. And exactly the same happened with Bybit as well. They had sufficient cash to be able to make those customers whole. But if that would happen in South African perspective, there's no insurance currently being offered to crypto asset service providers in South Africa. So it almost alludes to the fact that virtual asset service providers in South Africa needs to be more wary of this and make sure that they have the correct controls in place to make sure that they mitigate these types of risks.
And those processes or controls or protocols that you talk about, very briefly, what are they, and would they be very difficult to implement?
Yeah, it's not too difficult to implement. And I mean, most virtual asset service providers in South Africa already do implement a lot of that as well. So, of course, from an access control perspective as well, they need to make sure that the access is limited from a cybersecurity point of view, and also performing things like penetration testing. But I think more prominent to that is as well to have a process in place where a significant portion of your custody holding or customer funds are kept in cold storage, meaning that's not connected to the internet, and you only keep the necessary float in hot wallets. So if a breach had to occur and something had to be compromised, that at least it's not 100% of your fund that's being compromised. Mm. It may be only a 10 to 15% that's being compromised.
And obviously incumbent upon boards and executives who are dealing in this kind of platform, they would need to start tightening their crypto governance and response frameworks, particularly the governance.
Yeah, I think they're fully aware and appreciate the fact of the risks associated with self-custody, of course, just as much as they would know what the risk is if they were using a dedicated custodian from a counterparty risk perspective. But also, interestingly enough, when the Intergovernmental Fintech Working Group prescribe certain procedures or considerations for listed exchanges such as Johannesburg Stock Exchange, one of the areas that they specifically say to the stock exchange they need to look at in terms of if they were to list some type of Bitcoin spot ETF that applies self-custody is that custody element and how they go about custodying the digital assets as well, and whether they use a custodian and whether that custodian is up to scratch and up to par in terms of these protocols and controls.
I'll just need a quick answer to this. Does this incident then prove Bitcoin's strength, its fragility, or both?
I think probably more its strength, to a certain extent, that those cryptocurrency situated in that address is there forever and it can't ever be touched. So I think it just reiterates the fact that it is so secure that you can't access the funds once a private key is lost or even securely held somewhere else.
Vihan Olufia, thank you very much indeed. FinTech and Digital Assets Lead at Forvis Mazars. I appreciate your time.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.